You're listening to a High Voltage Radio Network podcast. Find more at highvoltageradio.com.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, with your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes!
That boy's good.
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's say!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings. And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic sports show produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans that are not affiliated with a major network. I am your host, the Godfather Nate Milton, and let me tell you, people, we have got a big show for you this week. We are packed to the gills with topics to talk about. Of course, we are going to recap the week that was from the WWE and their SummerSlam festivities from up in Brooklyn. We're also going to get into some NFL news and notes, and we're going to end things off this week by discussing the curious case of college coaches, including Urban Meyer and your boy, Tricky Nicky Saban. But before we get into any of that, let me bring on my tag team partner, my partner in crime, if you will. This man hails from the city of angels. You know him. You love him. Give it up for Marcus. I'm living my best life. Ain't going back and forth with you, brothers. Vandenberg, what's going on, brother Marcus? Hello? Brother Marcus, ladies and gentlemen. That's odd. I can clearly see your Skype light is on, but you're not responding. Huh. I am sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Technical difficulties, you know, technology is a blessing and a curse. So let me give Brother Lightskin a call here and see if we can't get him on the line for the show this week. All right, Marcus Vandenberg. Okay, so 213-777-9311. All right, brother, pick up the phone. Really? You gonna send me the voicemail? Are you serious? I know this brother love him some Disney, but he's got the When You Wish Upon a Star voicemail. Come on, Marcus. Be better, brother. Step your game up. So now you got me and the rest of the Kings of Sport Nation sitting here listening to your Walt Disney When You Wish Upon a Star Michael Jackson voicemail tone. Come on, brother. It is nice, though. Relaxing. Okay. Oh, okay. Okay, Mike. Yo, that was kind of nice, though. That was kind of nice. King of Pop for a reason. Okay, well, as you can see, Marcus Vandenberg is unavailable. He is a Disney fanatic, a Walt Disney mark, if you will. And I forgot when we were scheduling the show this week that it was time for Marcus's biannual trip to Mecca, a.k.a. Walt Disneyland. And so I'm going to have to figure out what we're going to do this week because, like I said off the top, we've got a lot of topics to discuss. We've got some really good conversation we can get into this week. And I could do it alone. It wouldn't be the first time that I've done a show by myself, but for a week as big as this, I think I need to get somebody on the line that can have an opinion, have a strong take, and, you know, we can have a good conversation, a good show. So I think I'm going to call an audible. I think I'm going to make an executive decision here on the Kings of Sport this week, and we're going to take a break. We are going to take a pause for the cause, and when we come back on the other side, I will be back with a very special guest co-host for the week, and I think you guys and girls are going to dig it if he picks up his phone or if she picks up her phone. Ooh, got y'all with a cliffhanger. You don't know who's going to be on the other side of that phone unless you're looking at the description of the show this week, in which case, surprise! So that is going to do it for this truncated version of the A Block. Thanks a lot, Brother Vandenberg. But on the other side, I will be back with my very special guest for this week, and we are going to discuss the week that was in the world of professional wrestling, centering around the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. We're going to talk SummerSlam. We're going to talk NXT. We're going to talk Roman Reigns. We're going to talk Ronda Rousey. We're going to talk about it all. So don't you guys and girls go anywhere. Keep it locked right here. Stick and stay, because we've got more Kings of Sport right after this. I'm up on this track like Pam Grier and movies. I heat up the beat like water in a jacuzzi. I fly to L.A., then come back to Virginia, then call Maggie New to see he's got some ender. Then back to the crib to pick up my brother G. G, don't forget to bring the house keys. Hops in the 850. Now here we go. Please, please, brother, don't slam my car door. It costs too much money to get that shit fixed. I need all my money to pay my bills with. Don't have no time for the shucking and jiving.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
What's going on, party people and everybody out there in podcast land? It's your man, Nate. And we'll get back to the show in just a little while. But while we got some time, I just wanted to let you guys know the three ways you can get in touch with the Kings of Sport. Way number one, you can tweet us on Twitter, because that's where people tweet people, apparently. You can hit us up on Twitter at KOS_POD. That's CosPod on Twitter. Way number two, you can email us at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. That's thekingsofsport@gmail.com. And finally, you can hit us up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thekingsofsport. So there you have it. Those are the three ways you can get in touch with us. You can leave feedback. You can join the discussion. Three ways you can be down with the Kings. We good, Marcus? Do we have to pay warranty for this? Because I ain't got G-Funk money.
And now it's time to return to the podcast that's changing the game one show at a time.
It's the Kings of Sport. TheKingsOfSport.com.
Here comes Roman. Roman! Oh!
Completely unintentional by Reigns, but what a brilliant ploy by the Beast.
Yeah, clearly Braun Strowman did not see that coming.
Well, I don't know.
Turn around!
Oh my God!
Lesnar poking the monster, and that's five to Strowman outside the ring. Hey. And that's one way to take Strowman out of the equation.
Lesnar is smiling.
Brock loves it. Smart move.
And Brock, as Corey mentioned, a huge grin on his face as now he looks to drag Reigns back in the ring, put Roman Reigns away as Strowman is still suffering the effects of the F5. And now Braun Strowman, though, grabbing the ankle of Brock Lesnar, and Brock now with the contract inside the briefcase, using the briefcase as a weapon, and now slinging it a long way away. He almost threw the the contract over the East River. And now back into the ring. Brock Lesnar in a mood tonight. A vile and vicious mood. And Reigns with a spear to the champion. Here's the cover. Hook of the leg. Reigns did it. Roman Reigns did it. Reigns is the champion.
Here is your winner. And the new Universal Champion, Roman Reigns.
I can't believe it.
Roman Reigns finally did it.
The elation from Roman Reigns.
The big dog has finally broken the stranglehold of Lesnar.
And look at the reaction from Roman Reigns. And we got a call like you see it, guys. Brock Lesnar was feeling himself. He was paying attention to Braun Strowman, and Roman Reigns struck.
Brock Lesnar was trying to protect his Universal Championship, and Roman Reigns capitalized on the situation.
Roman Reigns makes history tonight. He joins Brock Lesnar as the only man to hold the WWE and the Universal Championship. Roman Reigns, the big dog in front of a sold-out crowd at Barclays Center in Brooklyn, finally gets it done.
It's such a good vibration. It's such a sweet sensation.
Welcome back to the Kings of Sports. Godfather holding it down solo this week. And, you know, I figured that I needed to have somebody on because it's not good. It's not wise. It's not prudent for one to talk to themselves for a prolonged period of time. So I reached out. I grabbed my Rolodex of friends of the program and figured, could I call? Who could step into the shoes of Marcus Vanderberg this week? And you know what, people? I had to keep it 100 this week because the guest that I'm bringing on this week is somebody who could very easily review America in this week that has been pretty stormy for the president. He is somebody who could easily review an impact in advance of Impact's big trip down to Mexico. He's also somebody that could keep it 2,000. But as he and I discussed before we turn on the mics, that show is currently on hiatus. So he's got nothing better to do. He is coming to talk to us this week about his experience during SummerSlam week. And, you know, just give us an update on what's been going on. So, ladies and gentlemen, he's a friend of the program, my podcast side piece, if you will. Brian Mann, how you doing, brother man?
Thank you for having me. I think we can actually call this episode of Keep It 2000 because that's roughly how many topics we have to talk about from this past, even just the past week. Not everything that's happened since you and I were last publicly recorded.
Yes.
Just a lot has happened in the past week. I completely, even just wrestling, I completely forgot about, all the shit that happened just yesterday.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, do you want to start political? Do you want to piss people off early or would you rather ease our way into that?
This is
who's
your show.
Who's polarizing? Is it Michael Cohen or is it Roman Reigns?
Here's the thing. I can claim no sway over the agenda here. This is completely you.
All right. Well, let's start wrestling because I think, you know, a lot of people might not have heard you since the final episode of Keep It 2000 over mm-hmm. Post Wrestling. So, you know, let's kind of talk about wrestling and start by catching the people up on what you've been doing since the last time they heard you. And, you know, we can go from there.
Well, these things are all going to dovetail perfectly because what I've been doing is I've been working. And the thing I've been working on a lot is I'm over here at Complex. I'm a producer on Peter Rosenberg's late night show, Open Late. This is, we're now in our second season. We aired that. And we actually just premiered our WWE episode. It's all WWE. But the thing that I'm really proud of is that if you watch this, I know I'm starting with a plug, but it was what I was doing in last week involving wrestling. Even though it is a show filled with WWE talents, it doesn't feel like a WWE show. We have our panel that we have every week where we talk about the current events in hip hop with the New Day, and getting to hear Kofi Kingston compare themselves to Tekashi 6ix9ine, Biggie talk about Def Jam Fight for New York. There's a lot of fun stuff there, and it doesn't just feel like package. In fact, I would say at no point does anything feel like a WWE production. Then we have this really fun remote segment where Peter and his wife went on a double date with Rusev and Lana, and you just get to see couples bicker in a very realistic way. And then finally, we have this really nice, intimate one-on-one interview with Sasha Banks, where she opens up about some personal stuff and talks about how much she really doesn't like Alexa Bliss and you know, how she feels about Ronda being in WWE and Kendrick Lamar. Mm. So that's just a real quick pitch there. And I bring that all up because that was the start of my SummerSlam weekend. We shot that last Thursday and Friday with those talents, and then that rolled into Saturday at NXT for me. So yeah, that's where my week started, and obviously, as all plugs must end, go and watch that episode, guys. I think you'll like it. Reach out, and honestly, since this is something that, you know, I'm very, you know, sort of hands-on in, and it's kind of consumes a lot of what I do, reach out and let me know what you thought of it, good or bad.
Yeah, I've caught a couple episodes of the show, and certainly for the audience of the Kings of Sport, I think that the WWE episode is a very easy entryway. Check it out. Do Brian a solid. But speaking of easy entryways, Brian, this is an easy entryway into discussing the WWE's biggest weekend of the summer. And let's start with NXT, because you mentioned that you were there in the house in attendance for NXT for, you know, the greatest moment in modern wrestling history, and that, of course, was Velveteen Dream wearing those tights. So just in general, what did you think of the NXT show from being in there live, and then also, you know, kind of spinning it forward to SummerSlam, I would say weekend, but it's really damn near an entire week that the WWE took over the Barclays Center. What was your take on the entire experience?
Well, I would say in general, if you're going to start a wrestling show at 7 o'clock, but the tickets say 7:15, make sure that everyone knows about the time change. My friend and I show up right at 7 thinking we'd be getting there early to watch the NXT tapings. Mm. And then no, there's like, they're playing a promo video, and I was like, oh cool. They're hyping the crowd up for what they're going to see later. And it was actually just the start of the show.
Right.
So that was a little, I guess, frustrating, I would say, cause there was some stuff on the taping I would have liked to have seen. But besides that, I mean, you know, the NXT shows, they're great. You know, I sort of did the bookend of the weekend. I was at NXT and SmackDown. Radically different crowds. A lot more children at the latter. But, you know, it was a fun show. It was a really great experience. That opening tag was so exciting. I was constantly jumping out of my seat. The main event was, that was another weird thing, because the show started at 7 and then went off the air at like 9:30. I think that main event made the crowd feel weird because we didn't think the show was over. Versus if the show had started like 8, and then it was just weird. Like the timing of it all felt off, and you didn't quite know. That was just sort of not planned very, very well.
To be fair, the audience at this point has been conditioned to sit for 4, 5, 6 hours at a time.
I know, maybe 2.5? What the hell? but no, that was fun. And then, you know, with these weekends, it's so great because the SummerSlam weekend and the WrestleMania weekend, and I guess Royal Rumble, maybe even Survivor Series now, the city does feel slightly different. A lot of people come in town for it. Mm. I was, you know, getting to see a lot of like the Cheap Heat, you know, people that came in town with Rosenberg. There's a lot of just WWE superstars over the place. But one of the really fun things was going to the Wrestling for Sale. It's this Instagram account that sells old wrestling merchandise. The guy who runs it, he had a pop-up shop. And we were able to go to that. I picked up a Buff Bagwell shirt, buddy. I now own a Buff Bagwell shirt.
I was just about to say, snag any sweet Buff Bagwell gear.
I did. I snagged a 2000 Buff Bagwell shirt. So it has the fucking shitty logo on it, and it says still the stuff on the back. I came very close to buying a Scotty Too Hotty shirt. Didn't. But the one that slipped through my hands, it was that I literally was holding, and I said, no, I'm going to put it back. If it's still there, it'll be Destiny, was a Filthy Animal shirt. Oh. That had a maskless Rey Mysterio on it, and I'm upset that I did let that one go. But that was fun, just seeing all those, you know, all those people that come out for that. And I actually was at the last WWE show, Money in the Bank. I was actually there in person because I just happened to be in Chicago that weekend. And that show just felt like these WWE shows just feel so long now. So the idea of going to a 6-hour SummerSlam, yeah, I didn't have any interest in. So I watched that one at home, kind of with one eye. Raw, I didn't catch at all. I saw the closing segment, but then going to SmackDown was a lot of fun.
The closing of Raw was all you needed to see. Like the end, the Finn match and the post match with the Shield and Roman. That was about all you needed to see from Raw. Because I, as pleasantly surprised, I will say, Brian, as I was with SummerSlam, because I had no expectation heading to that show.
Yeah.
I was pleasantly surprised. I still think it was way too long. Like, I think SummerSlam was a really good 3-hour show.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it was 6 hours.
Well, everything, even the it's weird. I would say the Roman match was the best laid out, booked, and paced match on the entire show. I thought the way that they brought Braun out, the way they booked it was genius to keep the crowd on their side. I got to give them credit for that whole thing. Then I thought AJ Joe was really fantastic too. But I thought every match on the card, except for the main event, really could have benefited from being 30% shorter.
Mm.
Even a good match like a Miz Daniel Bryan just went on longer than it should have. Seth Dolph was a 15-minute match stretched to 23 minutes. And that's just because that's their current programming strategy, is to get people watching their network for as long as possible. So the show is 6 hours, not because people want it to be 6 hours, but just because they want there to be more of the show. So things are stretched out just for the sake of stretching it out.
I would agree. I thought that the matches that were supposed to deliver, you talk about the AJ Joe or the main event, even Ronda Bliss, like matches that had to deliver, I think delivered.
Yeah.
It was just a marathon getting through. And same for Raw. Like I was not impressed at all with Raw. But then let's go to SmackDown. You were at, because you are, you know, the kind of person that just likes to eat the bread of a sandwich. You don't like the meat and cheese and all the ingredients in the middle. Brian goes to one of those famous New York delis and just says, "Give me pastrami on rye, hold the pastrami."
Hey, speaking of which, though, the food at the Barclays Center is fantastic. And both nights I was there, I did get a very good Cuban sandwich at Havana. Oh. So if you're in the Barclays Center, get a Cuban sandwich at Havana. Then also go to Buffalo Boss. The great thing about Barclays is that when it opened, they set a rule, which is that every single food that is served there has to come from a Brooklyn-based company.
Oh, wow.
So they don't sell Lay's potato chips. They sell McClure's potato chips. They don't sell McDonald's. You know, they don't have a Taco Bell in there, like Mexico. And you get some really, really good food in that place. Just throwing that out there. But yeah, I did the bookends. I was at SmackDown. Not just me. My girlfriend went as well. It's her first wrestling show ever.
Okay.
And they could not have booked this
better. And you're still together.
We're still together. And I made her wear a WCW shirt as well. The two of us were making our alliances in the Monday Night Wars very clear. I was wearing my Buff shirt. And So we went, and they could not have booked the show better for her, because she's a fan of Daniel Bryan and The Miz because of Total Bellas and Total Divas, and we've actually watched some episodes of Miz and Mrs. So
honestly, side note, Miz and Mrs., not terrible.
It's half an hour, which is a big mark in its favor.
Yeah.
And so that was the match at SummerSlam she was the most excited for. So when the show starts, and it's Miz and Maryse first,
right,
and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is it. And she was like so excited to see them. I was like, you know, Daniel Bryan's probably going to come out. She's like, really? And I was like, yeah, this is the segment that they'll be in together. Then Daniel Bryan comes out. And I just jokingly was like, how crazy would it be if Brie Bella came out? She's like, that's not going to happen. And then Brie mode hits and she like loses her shit. So yeah, she was very excited about that. And then the end being this that crazy, you know, no disqualification match. That was a fun, exciting thing. So I think she had a really good time. I mean, SmackDown tapings are just, they're a lot easier to get through.
Right.
You know, they're only 2 hours. They have such a great roster. The Becky Lynch thing was really well done. At one point during one of the commercial breaks, they showed the full, like, cash-in Shield reunion just to, like, I guess, occupy the crowd a little bit. And yeah, you watch that and you're like, okay, yeah, the bigger stars are probably on Raw, but the much better storytelling and the much more joy was over here. Like, the AJ Joe segment was really, really great. The Randy Jeff thing match, for what it was exciting. It was a good night. It was a fun, enjoyable evening. I got out as soon as 205 Live started. I was like, no, thank you. I'm I'm going to call an Uber and get back home. But it was a fun night. It was a fun night. A lot more kids. I would definitely say this was the more typical wrestling audience. Mm. If you close your eyes and thought wrestling audience, it was who was at SmackDown.
For me, the big ticket items coming out of the weekend, or the week as it were, are, you know, the continuation of AJ Joe. You got Roman Reigns now reunited with The Shield, moving forward as your top guy on Raw. And Ronda Rousey, perhaps maybe the biggest star of them all, coming out yes. of SummerSlam weekend. So in terms of where the company looks to be headed now, Brian, well, what's your, I don't know, I don't want to say diagnosis, because it implies that the company is it, but what's kind of your prognostication going forward with the WWE?
They finally found something that works for Roman, which I think is a good thing. I think the fact that they just have a Universal Champion around again, yes. I think is a benefit to them. It'll be interesting to see where the Shield thing goes, because to me, watching that closing segment, that certainly felt like more of a heel segment. I mean, I don't know. I don't think they're going to keep, and maybe they're going to turn Braun. Who knows? Maybe they're going to turn Braun and he's going to side with Dolph and Drew McIntyre. I don't know.
You know, and I know you'll appreciate this being a classic yeah. WCW fan. This feels like, with Roman and the Shield now, it feels like the Sting and Luger angle. Where, you know, Luger was this bad influence and, you know, everybody loves Sting, but we just kind of tolerated Luger. Now, like, the hero of the story should be Roman Reigns. But yeah. we don't like the hero, but we kind of like his friends. So it's like, I don't know how to feel about you, sir, but I like the company you keep.
Well, I mean, if it's me, I mean, you keep them together and then you eventually break them up and you do the three-way at WrestleMania. Mm. I think that would be the smart, you know, thing that I would move forward on. Braun is just interesting because Braun is, you know, I think Braun being champion eventually is a really good idea. I just don't know how you keep him from cashing in because he is this.
Do they run the risk though, Brian, of maybe waiting too long to pull the trigger on Braun? And by the time they pull the trigger, we might not give a damn.
I mean, it's tough because if you were doing this thing right, to make Braun the guy. And that's the problem kind of with WWE right now, is they just sort of want to protect everybody. You've got your definite stars, and then you've got a line, and everyone else is beneath them. Ronda Rousey, definitely a star. Roman, definitely a star. The Shield, definitely stars. Braun, I don't think they're willing to take that step and move him up there. They're also hurt by the fact that they have so much great talent on one show, and I don't think they really know how to, like, have multiple plates spinning at once. It is an embarrassment of riches right now yeah. that they have so many, you know, people, and that's, you know, kind of how they're forced into using them. I mean, Braun trying to cash in and them, like, if they had legitimately ruined that cash in on Monday and he lost the Money in the Bank briefcase, that maybe would have been the best thing. If Braun actually does attempt to cash in, and fails, I think it kind of ruins that character. If he does a legitimate cash-in yes. versus if he had been screwed over like that. He's this unstoppable force, and you kind of have to figure out a way to get the case off of him, and then he needs to, like, win the Rumble or something like that, if you're going to go that far. Also, Roman doesn't need the title. I think the title needed to get back onto Raw. I think Roman defeating Brock made a lot of sense. You know, that being said, I think the match that would have made more sense would have been Braun versus Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam, but that's besides the point at this, where we're at.
Yeah, I mean, I think it certainly would have been the hotter match for me, the more intriguing match for me, and part of that because I'm so tired, and I'm glad maybe the best thing to come out of SummerSlam is that we're kind of through with this chapter of the Brock Lesnar WWE run.
Oh, and he is gone. He might be at Mania, but I do not expect to see that guy for a while.
Because other than the Goldberg feud, Brian, I really have not been enthused by this last foray for one brother Lesnar.
It's been a couple of years since I think he's... Because he had, like, interesting stories with Braun and Joe, but he just yelled yeah. that he wasn't going to have a long match.
And then, honestly,
really
there was a ready-built story to tell with Bobby Lashley if they wanted to tell it, but obviously they didn't want to tell it.
Yeah. Well, because I think they figured out that they had to get the title off of Brock, and they weren't going to put it on Bobby. I mean, if it were me, and I've kind of talked with just some friends about this, if it were me, I would have had Bobby Lashley show up the night after Mania, beat the fuck out of someone, go up to Kurt backstage and say, hey, give me Brock. And he's like, I can't defeat Brock right out of the gate. Like, and he's like, okay. And he just walk. And you just treat you, even though Bobby is essentially a full-time guy, book him like Brock. The audience at home doesn't need to know that he signed to a full-time deal. Book him like Brock. Have him treat him special. Make him Brock Lesnar's equal over those, you know, however many months. Maybe have him win Money in the Bank. He cashes it in to get the match at SummerSlam. I think that would have been such an easy thing to book and build, and people would have bought it. But they've essentially ruined Bobby Lashley already. Like, I don't know what you can do about Lashley. He is, short of just getting him to SmackDown and trying to get a whole new fresh coat of paint on him, I don't know how you can fix this character at this point.
Yeah, he's done, in my opinion, at least on Raw, as you're alluding to. Ronda Rousey, what did you make of her weekend? Because I'm somebody who still has issues with Ronda as a character, but in terms of her bell-to-bell stuff, I think anything physical that she does is fantastic.
I mean, she was booked as a total heel, unfortunately, in that Alexa match. I just think that was, you know, sometimes WWE producers, sometimes WWE matchmaking, they just get a little too creative and a little too ahead of themselves. I don't know why the match was laid out that way. I wouldn't have done it that way, but hey, it was what it was. I mean, Ronda, she's the biggest star in the company. She's massive. And unlike Brock Lesnar, she loves doing this, and I think she's fine being around pretty frequently. She maybe won't be on Raw every week, but I think she'll defend her title every month, you know, and I could only see her holding on to that. I think she'll hold on to that until Mania, if I had to guess. I think that it'll be her and Charlotte, probably.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And you know, yeah, maybe they both, I don't know how you get there, whose title is on the line, or if someone gets moved to a brand, or if you just do it, you know, the two women's champions facing each other. I don't know, but there's a lot of things they can do to get to that point. I can't imagine Ronda not being in the women's role. So to me, it makes a lot of sense for Ronda to win that women's Royal Rumble and then challenge Charlotte on the other brand. That just, that to me seems like the most logical way to get there.
Wins the Rumble as the Raw champion and she challenges Charlotte?
No, I'm saying maybe she loses the belt before then.
Oh, interesting. I think
it just depends on who you want to.
Honestly, I think she's holding the belt for a while.
I mean, by WWE standards, if she lost that thing in January, that would be a while.
touche.
I don't know. It just comes down to who you want to be the baby face and the heel, you know?
Yeah. I think they would want Ronda to be the heel, Ronda to be the baby face, and Charlotte, I think, is a better heel. But I am somebody, if I'm in that audience, I would probably be more apt to cheer Charlotte just because I like Charlotte more.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing is that if I had to guess, probably what's more likely is that, and again, WWE will do it their own way and it won't make sense, but whatever. As I see Becky getting her title, getting a title from Charlotte at some point during their feud, and then Charlotte winning the Women's Royal Rumble and going against Ronda, who's the champion at that point. And then maybe they let Charlotte be the first one to be on.
Interesting.
So who knows? There's a lot of things they can do. And who knows? I don't know how long Ronda's contract's for. You know, at next year's Mania, it will have been a year. Maybe she's got it out of her system. And she, you know, she doesn't want to be around so frequently. Who knows?
Speaking of somebody who may or may not be around much longer, Brian, I couldn't let you leave this week without dipping into the well of political intrigue. Because as you and I have talked about, politics is a lot like wrestling. You know, we've matter of fact, there's a whole series, I think, if you search online that you can find.
And just like weeks after week. Of you and I making completely salient predictions that didn't bite us in the ass at all.
Yes, the American people were Vince McMahon in that situation, and they just jammed Roman Reigns down our throat.
I'll say, to be fair, and I still hold this, and apparently from what I've read, Donald Trump would agree with this. If the election were held a week earlier or a week later, he would not have won. Like, it's, you run this simulation 100 times, he loses 99. The one simulation where he did win is what happened. Now, on the other side of things, it should not have been as close as it was. So, you know, I'm definitely not one of these people, and you and I, we haven't really talked publicly about this, but like, I'm definitely not one of these people that like blames everything on Russia, or, you know, just like wants to bury their head in the sand and is just like waiting for like the Mueller investigation to fix anything. I think that there are some real issues that the left side of things really needs to look at and reckon with, and even ask ourselves, why was it even this close. We had a terrible candidate. But then there are also other things that we really need to, you know, grapple with. Because this should have been a blowout, but it wasn't. But hey, that's 2 years ago, and I think we're going to talk about something that happened 2 days ago.
I was going to say, talking about blowouts, Stormy Daniels. I'm a professional here, folks. I'm a professional. But yeah, we got Michael Cohen. We got, you know, your boy Manafort. You know, I think today Pecker from the National Enquirer is flipping, like,
yep.
All the Trump. This is like the third act of a mafia where, you know, you start to get people dropping dimes and snitching. What do you make of everything that's kind of gone down around these investigations? And, you know, because Marcus has been pretty adamant on this show that he does not believe that Trump will fill out the entire term. What's your take on kind of the legal stuff going on, but also where this leaves President Trump, and will he, you know, will he be the president, you know, for his entire complete term?
From the beginning, I never thought he would be term. I did always think that impeachment, by the time 2 years passed, when we hit the midterms, that impeachment would actually be a campaign issue in which people running for office are going to have to answer for this. And we are now at a position where there are indictments. And here's the thing that's so crazy. So the Paul Manaforts and the Michael Cohens of the world, these aren't, you know, these aren't apparitions. There are thousands of Cohens and Manaforts there. And had Donald Trump not won, they would have gotten away with it, just like all of the other ones do. In fact, there are a couple Cohens and Manaforts on the Clinton side of things. And that's not my way of saying that, like, they're the same or anything like that. But if Trump hadn't won, everyone would have gotten away with it.
Yes.
But that's always Trump's thing. Trump's whole business of money laundering and parking foreign investments, that's what every single high-end person in New York real estate does. They're just smart enough to not run for president. They're just smart enough to host reality TV shows. They're just smart enough to not attract attention because, you know, the New York DA can be – New York City DA is pretty corrupt and has turned a blind eye to all of this stuff. So whatever. They know not to attract attention.
Yes.
But had Donald Trump not won and had this indictment come – Donald Trump would be indicted today as a co-conspirator to the crime that Michael Cohen just pled guilty to. The fact that he is president is the only thing protecting him right now, which is why he's doing totally normal things like tweeting "no collusion" in all caps in the middle of the night. But, you know, that being beside the point, I do think that impeachment is going to be a real question in some of these districts. Where candidates are going to be asked this, and they are going to have to answer it. And especially, you know, the Republican Party is kind of already trying to send out, like, okay, send people who aren't running for re-election, some safe sitting senators, to go on TV and say some things.
What do you think talking about the GOP, Brian, real quick, what do you think is kind of their, what's their point of no return? What's their event horizon? Would it be for Trump to have Mueller removed? Is that what would be the one thing that would spur them on to action against Trump?
No, the only thing that would be the point of no return for them would be Trump being less popular than he is popular with their base. That's the only thing. Because there's something to keep in mind is that anyone who tries to tell you that Trump is a new conservatism or that Trump is different than other Republicans, they're just trying to sell you some bullshit. They agree with 95% of what this guy does. They just don't like the way he talks about it. Like, a little gauche and things like this. And yeah, he's like a 73-year-old man whose brain is melting out of his ears. And he has, like, these rock concerts in West Virginia where he just talks about roast chicken at in. That's the thing. He's an old senile man. You know, the Republicans elected the racist grandpa. So when he stops being an effective mascot for their agenda, that's when they'll turn the back on him. Now, thankfully, won't the entire Republican Party to turn against him. If the House gets taken back and if Democrats get 2, maybe 3 pickup seats in the Senate, then we just come down to swaying a few moderate people that live in districts that they know they can't get away with it. You know, remember that Nixon was reelected very heavily, and that it just you got to know that these things take time to progress, and it's not going to just snap your fingers and it'll be over. This is an ongoing process. If this is something that you would like to see, if you'd like to see the president removed from office, then it's important that you get out and you vote with that in mind, because that's the only way that it's going to happen. Impeachment's not a legal thing. Impeachment's a political matter.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter what he does. It's just that when it becomes politically advantageous to remove him from office. I think the only thing that could turn off his base would be if there is an actual take deposition where he like admits wrongdoing. That's how far you'd have to get, because he does and says everything that they've ever wanted to hear. And he tells them that everything that they think and believe is absolutely right. And it isn't the rest of the world that's wrong. It isn't the rest of the world. They're that's right. Everything else is that is wrong in the world is going to be fixed by this guy. And that's a powerful belief. You know, everyone's kind of said that in some way. I would, you know, not to speak too crazy, but, you know, I would say that overall, I think Obama's presidency was a failure. But if you say that to a lot of people, because of how much faith they put into the guy, it's tough to say that. It's tough to acknowledge that because of what he means to you. And Trump's kind of the same thing. He means a lot to a lot of people for some very bad reasons, but that's the reason why they'll never turn their back on him.
Well, Brian, you know, I did have a lot more to talk to you about. Now that you've come out and said the Obama presidency was a failure, I'm going to my crushed velvet painting of Barack Obama, and I'm going to apologize to him. I'm sorry, Barry, on behalf of my friend Brian Mann. But you know, Brian, whenever we did shows together, you know, you always kind of let me have the final word and bring a good word to the people. Well, this week I've got some good news and some bad news for you, sir.
What's that?
The good news is I think, you know, this has been fun, and we do it again. Who knows where? Who knows when? What form this conversation will?
What topic?
What topic? What we'll be discussing? Whether it's politics or Vince Russo? Who knows? We'll have to do it again sometime. But the bad news, maybe not for me, but for you, is I've got hours and hours of tape of Brian Mann disparaging the character of Mark Madden. And much like Omarosa, I'm going to drop them out like a mixtape every so often. And, you know, that's how I will get my revenge on Brian Mann.
Hey, it's important to remember the character of Mark Madden. The character of Mark Madden.
That's still, to this day, one of the weirdest interactions on social media that I've ever had. And the less about that, the better. But Brian, real quick, before we let you get out of here this week, again, let the people know where they can find you on social media and find out about all the good stuff you're doing over there at Complex.
Yeah, you can find me online at Brian Max Mann, but I don't post that often because social media is evil. But what isn't evil is Open Late on Complex. Please watch our WWE episode this week. We also have a whole season, a whole first season that you can go back and watch with some really great guests. We're three episodes in to the season. We had Smoke Perp on our premiere. Last week we had YBN Gang. Next week we got Amber Rose. So, you know, the hits just keep on coming. And we've got some other really fun, exciting things down the line also that we've got coming up. But if you are a fan of wrestling, definitely check out WWE. Reach out to me on those evil platforms. Let me know what you thought of it, because, you know, we really did go into this trying to do something really different and showcase these talents in a different light. And I think we achieved that.
Good stuff. That is, of course, my you're like my alternate tag team partner. It's kind of like, you know, when you play WWE, one of the 2K games, and you go into the settings for a character, and they've got, like, the friends and the enemies thing. Like, Marcus is obviously my friend to the far right, like the best trusted true and blue friend. And the right to him is probably you, maybe Wei Ting. But you're on my friend's bar. Let's put it that way.
I'm not your Jason Jordan. I'm not that far gone.
Yes.
But I'm probably I'll say, for example, if he is the Scott Hall to your Kevin Nash and the Outsiders, I am the Scott Steiner to your Kevin Nash.
Yes,
occasionally winning tag titles, but not the first guy you think of.
Yes, you'd be my secondary partner. Yes, somebody mock that up. Somebody, I don't know why I'm like this. This isn't one of our wrestling shows where we can just command the audience to do Photoshop for us. But I'm still somebody.
I miss that power.
But hey, I miss you, buddy.
Miss you too, man.
All right. We're going to end on that wonderful sentiment. That, of course, is Brian McMahon. Check him out and the good work he's doing over Complex. This, of course, is the Kings of Sport. And I'll be back right after the break.
Look at that. Probably a gold digger, but I ain't Kanye. Baby girl, you're on the right track, but you're going the wrong way. And when you're about to party, baby girl, I got a game that we gon' play. And when you wake up tomorrow, I'll be on the highway. Hey!
For all you black folks out there.
Welcome back to the world's most dangerous sports show. Follow the danger online at facebook.com/thekingsofsport.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
We are back on the Kings of Sport. Or to be more accurate, I am back on the Kings of Sport. Brother Marcus is still out of pocket. But like I said in the last segment, we're not going to let that stop the show. We're not going to let that impede what we normally do around here. And what we normally do in segment four is we give you what you want. We give you what you need, and what you want and need is ratchetness and in full force. And that's what this is all about. This is our repository of ratchetness, our cornucopia of crazy stories from the world of sports, pop culture, entertainment. We cook it up for you in a pot, serve it to you hot, and we're going to give you what we got. And so, as I mentioned in the A block, there's been a lot of men behaving badly, particularly when it comes to the ranks of collegiate football. And so this week in segment four, we're going to talk about the curious case of college coaches. And we're going to start with Urban Meyer, who was suspended by Ohio State for 3 games for his mishandling of the allegations of domestic abuse against wide receivers coach, or former wide receivers coach, Zach Smith. And we talked about Zach Smith in last week's show with his little freaky diggy self. Good to see that he is no longer affiliated with the program. But what was not good to see was Urban Meyer's apology, that he issued at a press conference this past Wednesday, where basically he apologized for his actions, kind of, sort of. He made apologies to Buckeyes Nation and the school. But one person he did not make an apology to was Courtney Smith, who is the one who has alleged that former coach Zach Smith abused her. And it took until Friday, I guess, after Urban Meyer had gotten back to reality and heard sort of the righteous and appropriate response to his apology, where people were like, you know, you apologized to everybody under the sun, but you neglected to mention the woman who was at the center of this and the family who was at the center of this. And so Urban Meyer came back Friday on Twitter and apologized to Courtney Smith and the family. And basically, this was something where he had to do it. It's something he should have done at the press conference on Wednesday, obviously. But, you know, he had to come back and make amends for that. I just am one of the many people who are sitting here kind of shaking my head at the response from the university, though. Because this is one of the highest profile coaches in the sport. This is somebody that has won national championships. This is somebody who purports himself to be a leader of men. But when he had the chance to step up and be a leader in this Zach Smith situation, we'll see what's going on. You know, he's not going to step up and be as proactive as he would be were it a player or were it a booster or somebody else that we're in a situation like this. And so for him to only get three games, it's a bit of a sham. It's a bit of a travesty. It's a bit of a mockery. It's a Travis Shamockery, as an old commercial once said. But let's take a look here at the Ohio State football schedule, because I want you to understand the magnitude of this punishment that Ohio State has put on one Urban Meyer. So here is the 2018 Ohio State Buckeyes football schedule. So he is going to miss the September 1st game against Oregon State on ABC. He's going to miss the September 8th game against Rutgers. And he's going to miss the September 15th game against the 16th ranked team in the nation, TCU, also on ABC. So those are some decent sized games. You know, Ohio State right now ranked number 5 in the preseason polls. Those aren't the biggest games on their schedule. Obviously, it's not, you know, a game against number 10 Penn State or Michigan State or even Michigan that they will have later on in the season. But those are some decent-sized games. But I still will say the punishment does not fit the crime. If you are really about the business, and it's funny that we bring up the word business because I'll get to that point in a little bit. But if you're about the business of being this institute of higher learning, this institute where we are all about the student athletes and we have a set of morals and ideas to uphold, and we are so adamant about the kids upholding that standard, but we can let the coaches kind of slide here and there, I think Urban Meyer deserved to be on the bench for a little bit longer than just three games. And speaking of somebody who needs to be on the bench for a lot longer than three games, maybe he needs to be benched permanently, let's go to Maryland and talk about head coach DJ Durkin. Yes, DJ Durkin is still the head coach of the Maryland Terrapins. He is currently on administrative leave while the Board of Regents try to determine what role Durkin played in the workout that resulted in the death of offensive lineman Jordan McNair, and whether Durkin created an atmosphere and a culture that allowed this loss of life, this tragic loss of life, to occur. So it'd be bad enough if that was the only issue on DJ Durkin's plate. I can't think of anything in terms of a coach that would be more egregious than your actions, whether directly or indirectly, leading to the death of one of your players. Like, to me, you can't come back from that. But I guess the Board of Regents has to do their due diligence, innocent until proven guilty and all that good stuff. So while DJ Durkin is on administrative leave for his role in the loss of the life of Jordan McNair, it turns out that it was DJ Durkin and not former Maryland AD Kevin Anderson, as it was first reported. It was DJ Durkin who hired an outside attorney to represent two former football players against an accusation of sexual assault by a female student at Maryland. And so, yeah, this guy, how does he still have a job? And I don't want to get off on a tangent. I don't want to get up on a soapbox, but it's my show, and I will. How do we live in a world where it's okay that Disney got rid of James Gunn? And I know this is not an apples-to-apples comparison, but Disney got rid of James Gunn for making poor jokes. Like, let's not defend the jokes that James Gunn made on Twitter. They were in bad taste. They were crass. They were stupid. And he made them. And he's owned up to the fact that he made them. But he still lost his job. He's still not going to be at the helm of Guardians of the Galaxy 3. How does Disney get rid of this dude directing a movie, but a guy like DJ Durkin, who is in charge of young men, still get to keep his job? And another side note, another tangent, my white brothers and sisters, can y'all please come to the front of the congregation? Because we need to talk. And y'all know I love you. Y'all been riding with me in the Kings of Sport for years and more years. And you know, I truly believe that, you know, riding the King's dream, or was it Martin Luther King's dream? Either dream you want to ascribe to, I believe we can all get along. And there's beauty in everybody, regardless of your race, creed, color, religion, whatever, whatever. We all in this together. But white family, particularly my white brothers, y'all be doing the most sometimes with these jokes, quote unquote, doing too extra. So maybe we can dial that back and then not get into those type of categories because we see the consequences that result from that. But that's neither here nor there. We're going to get back into DJ Durkin because he is still allowed to have this position. He's allowed to have this title with all of this on his resume. And so that's just another mark in the column of coaches behaving badly. And finally, something that's not as serious as DJ Durkin, not as serious as Urban Meyer, is Nick Saban and his handling of the Alabama quarterback situation, the competition between Tua Tagovailoa and Jalen Ramsey. How did I get Tagovailoa right and mess up on Jalen? It's one of those weeks, folks. But, you know, Nick Saban has the right to select whoever he wants to be the quarterback of his football team. And I think anybody that watched the national championship game last year saw that even in a relief effort, Tua had a much better grasp of the offense than Jalen. So Nick Saban doesn't owe Jalen a starting position. But what I think Nick Saban does owe Jalen Hurts is honesty and transparency and to let this kid know, hey, you're not going to be the starter this year. And, you know, we love to have you on the team. We want you to stay here in Alabama. But you're not going to be the starter. And then that way, Jalen can make a decision on his own volition, whether he wants to stay, whether he wants to transfer, what he wants to do with his football career. And we've seen him come out and make some comments about his frustration with the way the situation has been handled by Nick Saban and the coaches at Alabama. And I think that if Nick Saban were really about the business, there's that word again, the business of taking care of these kids, he would have had a conversation with the young man and let him make a decision going from there. But it's in Nick Saban's best interest and the business of Alabama football to keep this embarrassment of riches at the QB position where you got a guy like Tua who could be the best passer that Alabama football has ever seen, and you can still keep a guy like Jalen who can win you a bunch of games on the bench just in case. Keep him in your back pocket. Save him for a rainy day. And so obviously, what Nick Saban is doing is not as egregious as Urban Meyer and certainly not as egregious as DJ Durkin. But again, it goes to complete this picture of men who should be behaving with honor, men who should be leaders of these young men, taking advantage of these kids, man. And I don't want to get into the age-old argument of whether players should be paid or not. Spoiler alert, they should. But I find it funny that we ask so much of these collegiate athletes. We ask so much of these young men. Not only must they be good athletes, but we still expect them to be good students. We still want them to be good citizens. But we let the coaches slide on so many things. And so, yeah, that's just something that we could think about in this week as we go forward. Let's not always cape up for these coaches, because that is one thing that I'm past the point of being sick and tired of, is seeing college football fans cape up for these coaches but have disparaging things to say about the players. So that's my only point on this topic, to say that these coaches are in a position of power. They should be honorable men, and so often we see these choices are dishonorable. But we're going to end the show off this week speaking about a man of honor who passed today, and that is, of course, Senator John McCain, who passed 4 days shy of his 82nd birthday. Now, obviously, you know, Marcus and I have talked about this. This is not somebody who politically we agreed with a lot of the time or even most of the time. But in a day and age where we have somebody like Donald Trump, who is ostensibly the leader of the free world, behaving the way he does, and so many of the people on the right who seem to have no backbone when it comes to challenging the behavior of the president, it was good to see John McCain be a stand-up person, even during his battle with cancer. You know, he was somebody who served his country, both in the military and also in the Senate, and, you know, he will be missed. So, That's kind of what we'll end off on this week. After talking about all those guys behaving badly, it's good to talk about somebody who, even if I had a disagreement with somebody that I think most people would agree was an honorable American. So rest in peace to Senator John McCain. That's going to do it for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Thanks to Brian Mann for filling in admirably in segment two for Brother Marcus, who was out of pocket during his biannual pilgrimage to Disneyland. If you want to holler at Brother Marcus and send him some love while he's on vacation, you can find him on social media at Marco Will, MarcoWill. You can find Brian Mann on Twitter at Brian Max Mann, and you can find me on Twitter at N8MOZAIK, at Nate Mosaic on Twitter. While you're there, check out the Kings of Sport Twitter page, Cospod. That is KOS_POD, Cospod on Twitter. Check out the Facebook page, facebook.com/thekingsofsport. Check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio Podcasts, wherever you get your audio entertainment and content from, you will most likely find us there. Make sure you subscribe so you get a new show delivered directly to your device of choice as soon as it drops on the internet. That is going to do it for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Next week, it's going to be all football all the time as Marcus and I get you ready for your fantasy football draft and discuss the latest news from training camp and the NFL preseason. We'll probably have some more ratchetness to talk about as well, because ratchetness never sleeps. So, again, thanks to Brian Mann for filling this week. Shout out to Brother Marcus as he enjoys the rest of his vacation. And shout out to you for listening to the program. That's going to do it for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. And we'll be back next week with an all-new edition of the world's most dangerous sports show, the Kings of Sport podcast. So, for Brother Marcus, I am the Godfather Nate Milton. It's a world of laughter, a world of tears, a world of hope, and a world of fears. There's so much that we share that it's time we're aware. It's a small world, after all. 'Cause you've been down with the Kings.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD. Or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, that's X.
Let me tell you something, Mean Gene. I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna leave it all on the mat. 'Cause that's what I do when I get it done, so I can do it. Yeah!